Zechariah 4. We got here this vision of the lampstand, but it's given to Zechariah after he's woken as a man who is woken out of his sleep. And he's told, look, here is the lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it and seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the lamps. And there are two olive trees by it, that is providing olive oil for the lamp. Well, what on earth is the point of this? The message is given to him in verse 6, not by might nor by power, but my spirit. That's what you've got to tell Zerubbabel. And the great mountain before Zerubbabel will become a plain. And Zerubbabel has started laying the foundation of the temple, and his hands will also finish it. And don't despise the day of small things. Well, what on earth is this all supposed to mean? Let's just backtrack a bit. The exiles had returned, some of them had returned, when Cyrus gave his decree that allowed the Jews to return. In fact, he encouraged them to return and rebuild the temple. He'd given them a grant of wood. He'd given them all that they needed. And yet the majority of them stayed in Persia. And those who did return, as we learn from Haggai, who's prophesying at the same time as Zechariah, they had returned, but they had their own agendas. They just wanted the capitalist dream. They wanted a bit of farmland with good harvests that would give them guaranteed income as they saw it for the rest of their lives, and a nice house with panels or ceilings on it, paneled ceilings. That's what they wanted, and they were focused on their houses rather than God's house, which lay in ruins. And so God sort of, I think, went along with their lack of enthusiasm, and there was opposition from the local Samaritans, and then the rulers in Persia sent a message that said, no, you've got to stop building. Well, they wanted to stop building anyway, so God confirmed them in that. But then Haggai arises and Zechariah, and they tell them, no, get on and build it. Keep on going. Zerubbabel was the leader, the governor of the Jews, had returned, and his name means the branch from Babylon. And he's called in Haggai 2, my servant. And he's clearly the one who Zechariah has spoken about in chapter 3, my servant, the branch. But he could have been this messianic leader, but he let the ball drop in the end. But anyway, God is encouraging the people to wake up out of sleep. That's the significance of the angel awaking Zechariah, as it were, out of sleep and giving him this vision. Now, we're told in Haggai chapter 1 that the Spirit of the Lord at this time came upon Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people of the land and stirred them up. But then in chapter 2 of Haggai, we're told that God tells Zerubbabel, be strong and get on and do the work. This was about a month after his spirit had been stirred up by God's spirit. So he was being told, let God's spirit work. Be strengthened. Allow yourself to be strengthened. And this is how God works today. It's not of works of human strength, lest any man should boast. On the other hand, at the other extreme, God is not going to force somebody to do his work who doesn't want to do it. He is, if you like, the great encourager, the great confirmer, the great strengthener. You want to go God's way, his spirit will work in your life to enable you to do that, but you've got to let that spirit work. And so this vision is another way of encouraging Zerubbabel and the people. And that's why it's all about the spirit, because the oil, the olive oil that's flowing into this candlestick, and there's such detail about it, the seven pipes, etc., that are on it. The idea is that, look, this day of small things, where you're just shifting rubble on the site of Jerusalem and the temple, and you're apparently despised by the people around you, and it's very difficult to do the job, this day of small things, of carting rubble and rubbish around and getting on with this massive job, look, my spirit is behind you. That is the simple message. And so, verse 6, This is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So the returned exiles felt that they were feeble. That word is used, particularly in Nehemiah. And they're being told, no, the Spirit of God wants this to happen. There were all those prophecies about the restoration in Isaiah, and God is eager to fulfill them. But you've got to allow him to work. When he's told not by might nor by power, might is the word that really means army. He's being told, you don't need an army. You don't need huge human strength. It's by my spirit. And I wonder if he was inclined to think that what they really needed was an army from the king of Persia to give them strength so that they could wipe out the Samaritan opposition and set up this restored kingdom. He just felt it was all too difficult. And so he's encouraged that it is not by such an idea of a human army, nor by power, but by my spirit. So Zerubbabel, I suppose, like all of us, tends to think, ah, but I don't have the resources to do this. And the idea is, yes, you do. My spirit is more than enough. And any great mountain before Zerubbabel will become a plain. I think it's a pretty clear allusion to Daniel 2, verse 44, where the little stone is going to come and smite the great image and turn it into a plain. And the image, of course, was headed up by the king of Babylon. And you've got the same idea in Isaiah 40, where we have the idea of the mountains being made a plain, made level, so that the messianic restored kingdom can come when the exiles return. And yet, what happened to Zerubbabel? Well, he sort of fades from the scene, doesn't he? He could have been the messianic ruler, but the biblical record says, well, just stops talking about him. The histories that were recorded in Persia suggest that he did in fact return and was made the governor or the appointed sort of figurehead leader of the Jews in exile, but of course under the control of the Persian Empire. So I think he just let the ball drop, and this is the great tragedy that you keep feeling all through the story of the restoration period, that so much potential was wasted. So much potential was wasted, was lost. And this is the tragedy of so many human lives, that so much was set up for people and for us as individuals in prospect, in potential, and yet we don't realize it. We don't bring it to reality. We don't allow it to become actual. So pray to God that he will show you what his hopes are for you, what his plans are for you. And don't worry, you don't need might nor power. His spirit will work through you. By that, I don't mean miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit in the sort of first century style, speaking in tongues and so forth. But all the same, his spirit is active. Now, Zechariah asks the angel in verse 11, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left side of it? They were the source of the olive oil. We can assume that there was dead silence, because in verse 12, I asked him the second time, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden spouts that pour the golden oil out of themselves? And the answer is, don't you know who these are? Verse 13, Zechariah says, no, my Lord. And the idea, I think, is that those two sources of the olive oil were Haggai and Zechariah. They were prophesying at the same time. And God is saying, the angel is saying, look, you two are the source of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Word of restoration. This is going to happen. And yet, there was nothing that forced it to happen. Even Zechariah was slow to perceive this, the power of the spoken word that he was giving. And as I say, that it's the same with the Zerubbabel. He didn't want to see the potential. His hands had laid the foundation, and God says here, and his hands shall finish it. And yet that doesn't really seem to have happened. And in any case, when they did sort of finish the temple, some people wept because they saw that this was not at all the temple that they had been commanded to build in Ezekiel 40 to 48. This was not really the picture of the gloriously restored house of God, which Isaiah had given in his prophecies, and Jeremiah, etc. This had not happened. So there's a strange sort of mixture between prediction and commandment. His hands have laid the foundation stone, and they shall finish it. They shall finish it may not necessarily be prediction, but more a command. Now, as I say, Zerubbabel let the ball drop. He was my servant, the branch, and yet he didn't really do it. And so the prophecies still come true, but insofar as they are reinterpreted and reapplied to the Lord Jesus. And that's why in the vision of the throne room of God in Revelation 4 in the New Testament, you have another vision of a candlestick that is very similar to this one, and it is clearly intended to be seen as similar to it. And the idea is that that candlestick is ultimately God's Christian church, the believers filled with the Spirit. So the whole thing has been reinterpreted and reapplied. But the point is, don't despise the day of small things. There they were, toiling under all this opposition, looking at the glass half empty rather than half full, thinking that the opposition was like a great mountain. And yet, the point of this vision is, look, you have got God's Spirit. God has spoken. And therefore, he will bring this about if you let him. As I say, this has to be connected with Haggai, where the Spirit of God stirs up Zerubbabel, but then he's told a month later, in Haggai 2, be strengthened, allow this to happen. And it all comes down to whether you're just really involved in the people of God and God's work because of your own agendas, as I'm afraid the people were. According to the Haggai, they returned wanting to have good harvests, etc., and God gave them a famine, gave them a drought, so that they wouldn't have those good harvests. They were worried about their own houses, building up my own family, my own house, physical house, figurative house, as in your family, and having good harvests in this land that they'd gotten hold of. And the real purpose of being there was to build up God's house and to restore God's kingdom. Not make your own little mini kingdom that will last at best as long as you live on this earth, if you get there, if you get to fulfill the capitalist dream. Many people die on the way there, and even those who think they get there, then it's just the end of the rainbow syndrome. So this really does speak directly to us that God's activity is huge. If you want to be part of his ministry, of his work in this world, of the extension and establishment of his kingdom, he will work with you. Don't worry about resources. If really this is your absolute paramount desire, and you absolutely have no interest in personal benefit, in your own agendas being extended, but you want his story to come about, he will make it happen.